And now let's go out to the River Islands guest line because it's time for Coach Kerr, presented by Great Clips. In sports, success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Coach, welcome on to Willard and Dibs as always, but no Willard and no Dibs. It's Mark Randy, Loneal, and Jake Hutchinson with you. First of all, happy early Thanksgiving. Thanks for taking off the time. How you doing today, Steve?
I'm doing well, thanks. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys, too.
Yeah, appreciate that. Before we get into what happened yesterday at Chase Center, I know there was a little bit of an injury update earlier today. For tomorrow's game, both Stephen Curry and Jonathan Kuminga questionable. We know JK's been dealing with that illness that kept him out the last couple of games, and Stephen Curry dealing with patella soreness in both of his knees, questionable for tomorrow. What can you tell us about both of those guys' status for the game tomorrow?
Well, JK practiced today and looked good, so I'm hopeful that he'll play tomorrow. Steph and Draymond both sat out practice just, with aches and pains and Steph with the knee stuff. So we'll just keep him as questionable, and we'll see how he's doing tomorrow.
Steve, I'm just wondering, maybe this is sort of a philosophical question, but when you're facing a run and a team goes on a run like the Nets had in the third quarter going into the fourth, how do you sort of decide whether it's a time to, call a timeout immediately or let it ride and see if you can stop it? Is that in the flow of the game, or how do you sort of assess that?
Yeah, I mean, every game is a little different, and so you just try to get a feel for what's happening. Are we getting good shots? Are we having good possessions? Is there a schematic change that we want to make? Is there a personnel change we want to make? So, a little bit of all of that, and you make the decision game to game. I think, the one thing I would change looking back on the game, and there's always something when you lose, you're always looking at everything, but I probably should have taken a timeout late third. I had one that I was going to lose anyway at the end of the quarter, and I think I probably should have taken one, with less than a minute left, just to try to help us get through the quarter in a good way, because it's two games in a row now where the end of that third quarter has really hurt us and hurt our momentum. So I probably could have done a better job of helping our team through that stretch.
Coach, Loneal here, man. Love watching you play. You and Paxson back in the day, sitting up hitting those threes with you and Jordan. I mean, it was absolutely legendary, man. I was, played 17 years in the other ball, football, but it was an honor, man. So appreciate what you did, Coach.
Thank you.
Hey,
appreciate it.
When you're playing a game and you're coaching a game and you're into those moments, how do you know if a team's better than you, or if it's talent, or if it's coaching? How do you put that together and say, okay, this team is better, or they just went on a run? How do you put that together collectively to know what you have?
I think every game is different, and we go into every game with a game plan, and how we're going to beat this team. Who's best suited on our team to match up with certain guys, that sort of thing. And then, it's amazing how fragile everything is. Just there's such a small margin of error in these games, and a small margin of difference. Even when you play a team like the Nets that's hurt by injuries like they were last night, they made 23s, so they're capable. And every team is capable. These guys wouldn't be in the NBA if they weren't great players. And the way the game is played today with the three-point line, with the pace, it just feels like big leads are more vulnerable than ever. And so it's up to us as coaches to constantly assess where the game is, what's happening, and try to adjust from there.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr with us here on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. And Coach, I was just going to ask you about that. Obviously, it's a good thing to build big leads, and you've had your fair share of them so far this year. I think what happened in Houston, you lead by 30, you go to overtime, you led by 30 in OKC. That game came down to the wire just about. And then, of course, what's happened the last two games where you had double-digit leads in the third quarters and you lose those games. When you go back and look at what happened in those moments, is there any common thread? And how do you use what has happened specifically in those four games to maybe, coach the guys up and make sure that doesn't happen in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I think the three-point shooting and the pace, as I mentioned, means that in the old days, a 15-point lead felt really safe, and no longer does. But with that said, you have to look at all these games and examine the tape. And what the tape showed last night was very, very poor execution at both ends. And honestly, I'm not shocked. We had a tough trip last week. Three games in four nights. Our guys were really tired, I felt, and we hadn't practiced in about a week. This is the modern NBA. You don't practice much. And I felt like we had major slippage at both ends. And it's been a common theme, I would say, when we've given up leads. It's mainly execution at both ends, just missing rotations on defense, not getting into our offense quickly enough or with enough force and pace. And like I said, very small margin for error at this level. And as soon as you let your foot off the gas a little bit, teams can storm back quickly, and I think that's been the case for us. So we'll try to keep working on that and get that cleaned up.
Steve, obviously, when a game ends the way it does, rotations and the ending rotation becomes an easy point for people online to criticize. What did you like about the final group you had there out there on the floor, and why wasn't Moses Moody part of that group?
Well, I was looking for the best combination of defense and playmaking. I felt like we were really struggling offensively. So Brandon Podziemski gives us the most playmaking amongst the group that I'm deciding on. And then Gary Payton gives us the best defender. So Dennis Schroeder was dominating the game. So I wanted Gary on Schroeder. And then I felt like with Gary on the floor, Gary's kind of plays like a big. He's like a 6'3" power forward. He's not a playmaker. He's a finisher. So I felt like we need the playmaking of Brandon. And it's interesting. So far with this team, I've closed with lots of different combinations. And part of that is good. We've got a lot of guys who are capable of closing. And part of it is bad in that I'm not really sure from one night to the next, who to go to, frankly. And so that's with a deep team that hasn't really sort of divided itself and separated itself, and you don't know quite what your rotation is going to look like, you have to make decisions from one night to the next. And they didn't work out last night, and that's, that's part of it. But every night's going to be a little different at this point.
Steve Kerr with us here on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Coach, obviously you've been dealing now without D'Anthony Melton for a bit of time, and unfortunately now out for the season as he opts to undergo ACL surgery. I think as a result, you've had to rely on Brandon Podziemski a little bit more, and it's no secret that he has struggled shooting the ball. What did you see from Podziemski last night? It felt like he was a little bit more involved in everything happening on the court. You mentioned you wanted him out there for his playmaking ability, but number one, how hard is it to make up for the loss of Melton? And I know Podziemski has always been important, but specifically without Melton, how important is it to get him involved consistently every night without D'Anthony Melton?
Yeah, Melt's loss was huge for us. He was the ideal fit next to Steph, two-way player, one of our best on-ball defenders, and then a guy who could create on offense and allow Steph to get off the ball. So that was an enormous loss. And then the Brandon piece, he had a great rookie year for us last year. We love so much about what he can do, just his feel for the game, his playmaking, his reads on cuts, that sort of thing. It's one of the reasons I trust him so much, because he makes the game make sense. So I saw a lot of that last night. Yes, he's been struggling with the shot, but he does a lot of other things well. And the thing I've been telling Brandon is just to play. If he goes out and competes and does what he does, the shot will go. I mean, he puts in a ton of work, probably too much, actually. And he'll eventually relax and those shots will start to go. But he's a very important player for us, and really really good young player. We're excited about him, but these are, you know, common stretches for young players like Brandon to go through. So he'll get through it.
Coach, in football, you know, end of the game, you want to run out the clock and try to, you know, pop a big play. How do you be conservative but still put your foot on the throttle and you know, and make sure you win the game when you have a lead? What are some of the things, that the thought process of that for guys not to take their foot off the gas, but conservative to win the game when you're to preserving leads?
Yeah, I mean, it's always an interesting balance with us. You know, we've thrived on some chaos over the years. The way Steph Curry plays, he's going to take some difficult shots. He's going to make some difficult passes. But part of the challenge this year is to get Steph and Draymond to throttle back a little bit with some of the risk-taking, because this team is not as capable as our teams from 5-6 years ago of withstanding, you know, turnovers and mistakes. But at the same time, we want to be aggressive. And to me, that comes with execution. I'm sure it's the same way in football. You know, if the receivers don't run their routes with pace, if blockers don't attack the line, I mean, if everybody's not playing with pace and energy, then it's really hard to generate a good shot. And that's what we're really focused on this year. And for the most part, we've been good. We're top 10 in both offense and defense. Obviously, 12-5 is a great record to have. But these last two games have definitely exposed us a little bit in terms of, you know, that execution and what you're talking about, you know, closing games down the stretch. So the long haul, long season, and we're trying to get better with everything, and I'm confident we're gonna improve.
Steve, on a positive note, it feels like we're starting to see the sort of Andrew Wiggins that we had hoped to expect that he'd be. I mean, what have you seen from him? It seems like he's being more aggressive, more proactive, looking a bit like what you'd want him to look like.
Yeah, Wiggs has been fantastic, attacking the rim, you know, looking for his shot, playing great defense. This is the guy who helped us win a championship 2 years ago. So it's wonderful to see him in a really good place, mentally, physically, playing at a high level and enjoying himself. You know, this is the Wiggs we all know and love, and I'm really happy for him that he's playing so well.
Coach, obviously the last two games, you've been without Jonathan Kuminga. I know we've already talked. He's questionable for tomorrow. You're hopeful that he can play as he recovers from that illness that he's been battling. To me, and tell me if I'm wrong, it seems like you really missed him the last couple of games, because when you get in those funks, when opponents are going on runs and they're pressuring your ball handlers and maybe they're overplaying a little bit along the perimeter, you need someone who can, you know, cut back door, slash to the hoop, get to the rim, maybe draw a foul, get to the free throw line, just to allow everyone to take a deep breath and to calm down a little bit. And obviously Kuminga is one of the guys on your roster that can do that. So how unfortunate has it been that the two games that Kuminga's had to miss due to illness are games that turn out like this? Because it felt like to me he could have been maybe a way for you guys to get out of those funks in the fourth quarters the last two games you played.
I totally agree. I think we watched it in New Orleans, actually, because you know, we were kind of struggling late third quarter in that game, and Jonathan got downhill 5-6 times late in that quarter and generated baskets and kind of you know, rectified the game and got us our momentum back. And is hugely important for us to rely on JK's ability to do that. And you remember the Houston game, the one we mentioned earlier that went overtime when we lost that 30-point lead. He took over overtime, you know, playing against a super athletic team, because he's really our best athlete going to the rim and converting, getting us an easy basket now and then. So we really missed his ability, especially at a time where, you know, we're on a tough trip, three games in four nights, travel problems, all kinds of stuff. That's where you really need your youth and your energy and the young guys to come step up and contribute. So his illness was definitely a big loss for us the last couple games.
Steve, obviously a pressing question here with Thanksgiving coming up. What is your favorite Thanksgiving dish, and do you get involved in the kitchen? What is your routine on Thanksgiving?
I'm lucky that my wife is an excellent cook. I do like to cook. I cook frequently, but not on Thanksgiving. I'm kind of busy. I got stuff going on. So I think my favorite dish, sweet potatoes for sure, with the marshmallow on top. I can't enough for that. That's good stuff.
Hey, Coach, I'm going to go back to basketball here really quick for just a second. I'm going to ruin the mood. I know we just had a little bit of fun with Thanksgiving, but Buddy Hield, you're now a month into the regular season having coached this guy for the first time, and obviously he got off to such an amazing start shooting the basketball. I mean, breaking records for most made threes in his first X amount of games with a new team. He's still obviously been effective, maybe hasn't been shooting the ball quite as well, but something I've noticed about Buddy Hield, even when the shot isn't falling, I mean, he's running the floor relentlessly. There was an awesome moment in the New Orleans game on the road where he sprinted down the floor. The passing lane wasn't there. Cut baseline to the opposite corner. It wasn't there. Then he ran back to where he came from, and Moses Moody made a nice pass, and in he had hit a nice reverse layup. Buddy Hield, we think of him, I think, as just this three-point shooter, but can you talk about everything else he brings to your team more so than just shooting, and why maybe even when his shot is slumping, he's still a valuable player to you?
Yeah, Buddy is fantastic. Number one, he brings a great joy to the building every single day. He loves the game. He loves his teammates. He loves being part of a team. So it's the gym is just a happier place when Buddy is around, so that's a big deal. But of course, his shooting, his sprinting the floor. You mentioned that play where he sprinted the floor and then the baseline. He never stops moving, and the way he sprints the floor in transition, even when he doesn't get the shot, he frequently opens up somebody else for a shot, because the defense has to honor him. So Buddy's really he's really been great. I know his shot hasn't gone as often this last week or so, but that's all part of being a shooter. I'm not worried about that at all. I want him to keep firing away and keep doing what he does, because he's had a huge impact on our team.
Hey, Coach, you brought up Dennis Schroeder earlier. I mean, he was incredible last night. It feels like every time you guys play Dennis Schroeder, whichever team he's been on, I know he's kind of bounced around a lot, feels like he gives you guys trouble. Are you guys tired of playing against Dennis Schroeder?
Well, not only that, he beat us in the World Cup when I was coaching Team USA 2 summers ago in the Philippines, dominating that game. He's a hell of a player. He really is. I have great respect for him, his two-way ability. I thought his defense on Steph last night was important in their win. And he just took over down the stretch, hit all the big shots, and he's a gamer. He is, and you're right. It seems like he's got it out for us for whatever reason.
Well, I mean, at least he's in the Eastern Conference, so you only got to play him one more time this year. At least there's that.
That's right.
That's all we got for you today, Steve. We appreciate your time as always. Hope you have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll catch up with you next week. Best of luck tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks, guys, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody listening out there.
All right, there's Coach Kerr, head coach of the Golden State Warriors.